Favorite country?
Japan.
Best food?
Thai.
Worst food?
Can I say England?
Most attractive males?
Sweden.
Such, I don't think anyone has not said Sweden yet.
Yeah, I know, it's such a cliche, that's why.
Most attractive females?
Brazil.
Okay. Most friendly?
The Thailand.
And now this is the most important question, Michael.
Yes.
I may, if you answer this question incorrectly, I may need to cut the interview short and then run a smear campaign against you and your website.
Okay.
So no pressure.
Sure.
If you had the opportunity to go to a fully functioning Jurassic Park or space, where would you go?
I would go to space.
Ah, oh, Michael, no.
I'm sorry.
There's no dinosaurs in space.
There might be. Maybe we just haven't gone far enough. That's the point. If you go to Jurassic Park, you're limited to only one thing. But if you go into space, if you travel for long enough in any particular direction, you could find anything possible.
Think of the stationery, though. Imagine like a Jurassic Park pencil case.
Yeah, okay, that's true. And I think space movies generally tend to go worse than dinosaur movies.
I don't think any Jurassic Park movie have gone particularly well for those who went, though.
Yeah, okay, no, fair point, fair point.
Okay, Michael, well, you are one of my favourite bloggers, and you have one of the most incredible opening lines to a blog that I've ever read that I'll read out now. The enormous pink penis catches the light as I approach it. What is this about, Michael?
I wish I could say that there's only been one moment in my travels that you could be referring to. Probably more. But in this particular case, I think the blog post you are referring to is when I was in Japan a little while ago and went to a penis festival.
Okay, where is the penis festival?
So it's in a place called Kawasaki, which, if you know Japan, is basically an outer suburb of Tokyo, sort of between Tokyo and Yokohama. The fact you can get the subway there from Tokyo means it's not that far away, but it is technically a different place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like most of Japan, it's a big kind of urbanized area. And once a year they do, well, I call it a penis festival. I mean, they have a different name for it, obviously. It's called the Kanemaru Matsuri. And it's actually held in and around a Shinto shrine. So there is a religious aspect to it, but I'm guessing you're more interested in the enormous phalluses that they parade through the streets, aren't you?
The images are very much make it look like it is a festival celebrating the penis.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. So, I mean, the way that it works is they sort of have, I suppose, two elements to it. One is the parade, which happens all around the streets surrounding the temple, and they have four sort of really large...
They're huge, like!
Yeah, model peanuts. Like, when I say large, I mean the largest one is probably 1.5 times, like, the size of me, as in my body. 1.5 times my height.
Make sure you stress that.
I'm going to get myself in trouble, I can tell here. So, you know, that's like, it's 2.5 meters, maybe, the largest one. And there are four of them and different colors. The main one is this big pink one, but there's also a, which sort of has a little bit of a bend to it. And there's a slightly smaller black one, which is sort of very rigid and straight. Anyway, they parade them around the streets and huge crowds come and gather and they line up along the footpaths and, you know, there's all sorts of dancing and chanting and all sorts of costumes and stuff that go along with it. And then the second element is in the actual temple itself. They have, you know, an actual festival kind of thing. There are stalls and there are activities and there are rides, dare I say it, and you know, there's all sorts of things that people can do.
But Michael, why? Why are they doing this?
Well, the traditional kind of story is that as I say, it came from, it sort of happens in a Shinto shrine, and there is actually a sort of religious background to it. It's all to do with fertility, it's to do with sexual health. There's sort of different sort of legends, I suppose, associated with it. It's all to do, though, with embracing that part of human life that, you know, we kind of think is, in our current society, think is maybe a little bit taboo, but really in the grand scheme of humanity, you know, it's why we're all here. And so people go there to pray for all sorts of things, you know, long marriages and healthy births and fertility and not to get chlamydia, I guess. I don't know. You know, all these sort of things that people worry about. I mentioned chlamydia there sort of only partly as a joke because the temple at least started about 400 years ago, and the area had a lot of prostitutes in it, and they really did go there to pray to not get sexually transmitted diseases as part of their work. But now it's, I think, taken on a sort of slightly different mood and role, really, in the society.
And it's like I'd really recommend. I'll obviously post a link on the website for it. Like, the images are absolutely phenomenal. But is this not quite out of character for a Japanese society that has a reputation for being quite sexually reserved?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because, I mean, to your first point about the photos, yeah, like they are, please go and have a look at them, people. They are really strange because you've got little kids kind of licking penis lollipops and, you know, an old man with a mask where the nose is a penis and young women kind of taking photos with people dressed up as penises. So, yeah, I mean, it's not just this parade that I was referring to. Like, the whole place is just crazy. To your second point, I think actually I've traveled to Japan quite a few times over the years, and I studied Japanese when I was in high school, and I wouldn't claim that I'm an expert, but, you know, I've sort of had a lot to do with the culture and the people over the years, and I think Japan does have this sort of dichotomy to it. It's a bit of a bipolar society in this sense, and part of it is a really conservative, rigid way of life where formalities and order and manners are really important. But the other side is this wackiness and zaniness that you see come out in all sorts of ways. You know, not just with this kind of thing. We see it in the comics, in the TV, in the game shows, in the everything. It's almost like a release from the other side. And this sort of liberal / creepy sexuality side of things is part of that. You have on the subway, for instance, Japanese businessmen sitting there reading pornos, porn comics and stuff.
What? Really?
Yeah. People read a lot. I'm actually, I have to say, less so these days since phones and so on. But, you know, back when I first started going, definitely people read little comic books, manga on the subway. And this is not what kids do. This is what adults do. And what everyone does is they have their own personal comic book cover that you put over your book because it's kind of, to go to the conservative side of things, it's rude for other people to know what you're reading. And so you cover, you know, because, you know, if you get on a subway in, I don't know, New York or London or in Australia, everyone's reading The Da Vinci Code or Gone Girl or something like that. But over there, you know where everyone's reading. But over there, you have no idea what anyone's reading. Anyway, so they sit there, and part of the covering up is because they're quite often reading dirty mags, and so they don't want you to know that. I feel like this conversation is getting a little bit blue, but one time I met...
talking about a penis festival. It was difficult to avoid.
I'll try and keep this relatively clean. I went into a...
No, this is not rated, so you can go as dark as you want.
Oh, well, great, good. Well, it's lucky you say that, because I went into a porn store in Tokyo one time, and this was for cultural research, I promise you. Because I'd heard about this one. It's this really narrow porn store that is 7 stories high. And the idea is that you go in on the first level, and it's sort of just, you know, magazines with girls in bikinis and so on, and each floor you go up, it just gets a little bit more hardcore, you know, until you get to the top floor. And I'm honestly not going to say what was up there, but it would would make the Germans blush. I'm just going to put it that way.
Can you give us a tiny example of what it would be?
Oh,
you can do what it rhymes with, maybe.
Oh, just think of the most creepy thing that doesn't just involve humans and so on, and you will find it up there, you know.
Oh dear,
it's weird.
And
weird
how did
stuff.
You feel when you were up there? Did you feel the need to explain to everyone like this is just cultural research?
Well, you know what. If you think about going into one of those kind of stores in your hometown, you think creepy old guys in, you know, those trench coats and whatever. You go into one of these stores in Japan, and again, it's just full of businessmen. They're there in their suits. They're just flicking through these magazines right in front of everyone as if they've popped into the newsagent to buy the daily newspaper or something. So... there's no shame about it. It's sort of just part of the culture and society in a weird way.
So they seem, it's an odd, they're like obviously quite a sexual nation, but I remember the government are having issues because people aren't actually having sex though. Are they too busy just reading the pornos?
Maybe that's it. They're getting their kicks elsewhere by dancing around the streets in Kawasaki with a huge statue. That could be it.
So what was it like for you just walking around the festival? I can imagine it was just a completely surreal experience.
Yeah, I would like to say that it was, you know, completely surreal and that I'd stumbled on a little slice of Japanese life. But the truth is in the last few years, it's become a little bit better known. And I wouldn't say it was full of tourists, but a lot of expats. Western expats who live in Tokyo would come down for the day for it. And so, you know, there were times, yes, when I was surrounded, you know, by Japanese people and you have, you know, a 20-year-old with her boyfriend and she's straddling a wooden penis and sort of doing the thumbs up and he's taking photos of her, presumably to go up on Facebook at some point.
It's my girl.
Which is really weird. But then you'll bump into a bunch of American students, you know, wearing shorts and baseball caps, sort of chatting about, which I guess is surreal in itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, Japan, it's, as I mentioned, one of my favorite countries. And one of the things I like about it is that most of the experiences you can have there, most of the places you go are really unique. And not just unique, but authentic and actually not commonly filled with tourists, which is the good thing. And I think this actually, you know, it goes back a long way, I think. Japan, if you know anything about the history, was an extremely isolationist country. It really did not want to have much to do with the rest of the world, apart from claim it for their own. They really didn't want to have much to do with the rest of the world in terms of cultural trade and so on for a long time. It wasn't really till Emperor Meiji that changed. And so it meant that being an island and not wanting to have these links, its culture didn't get, what's a good word for it? Its culture didn't get diluted in the ways that other countries did. And I find traveling around, if you go through Europe is a good example. You know, each country is, I suppose, you know, you go to Germany, you're like, oh, I guess this place is German. And you go to Spain, like, oh, I guess this place is Spanish. But, I mean, the reality is you go to each of those cities and they're pretty, cities within those countries, and they're pretty similar. Mm-hmm. You know, there is this homogenized Western culture which has filled a lot of the world. But Japan, I still find, is one of these countries where almost everything you see and do there, you're like, this could only be happening to me in Japan. And that's really what I love about it so much, Penis Festival being a good example of that. The great thing about traveling is the people you meet and getting to hear stories about the lives that those people lead. And I think when you are able to hear stories, hear the backgrounds that are not what you're used to hearing, not what you're used to experiencing, not the kind of things you hear from your own friends or colleagues, it really puts everything in perspective and allows you to see the world for a bigger, more interesting place than it might appear otherwise. Hi, this is Michael Turtle from TimeTravelTurtle.com, and my travel confession is that I find any way possible to not share a room with someone else because I'm too scared to admit that I actually snore and that they will hate me if they spend the whole night not sleeping because of me.